Let's start with yesterday's commission meeting and the passage of the rule here locally that will affect so many.
Sure. So obviously we passed, I would arguably say one of the most aggressive moves by an agency to protect a resource, maybe in our country, but certainly within Arkansas, in our history of the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, when we changed the rules for 4 months on our two largest trout fisheries, who are known throughout the world as some of the most trophied trout and treasured waterways in the world. And it was not an easy decision, but it was certainly one that we felt was important. And so when we changed the rules to be catch and release only, essentially from the town of Norfolk up to both dams, both on the Norfolk and the White River. So it's a large body of water with which for the next 4 months through the winter that we'll have catch and release only. Now, why did we do that? Well, let's take back in history a bit. So the Jim Hinkle trout hatchery in Mammoth Springs, which was rebuilt and reopened just about 18 months ago, was damaged severely by the floods of April. And in the middle of this restoration, our inability to produce trout through that impacted our abilities to stock. Coupled with that, the warm waters of non-generation through the turbines of the dam this year on Norfolk that feeds the Norfolk Fish Hatchery, which they normally experience some dissolved oxygen issues this time of year anyway, and there is always a little bit of a trout kill in their hatchery. This was catastrophic in that they lost all their fish, and what fish they didn't lose, they had to turn loose. So when you take the two major suppliers of our rivers, our trout rivers, and take them offline for a period of time, we had to make some drastic decisions of what do we do to protect the resource, which led us to stopping any harvesting of trout for that 4 month period.
And talk about the water quality at the Norfolk Fish Hatchery. What happened in Norfolk? Or excuse me, what happened to that hatchery?
In layman's terms, the water temperatures, the dissolved oxygen got to a level that was unsustainable for the trout that were in there. They'd already had a number of raceways closed down over time, but that hit them quickly, and therefore they unexpectedly lost, the trout that they had in the hatchery.
And what does this mean for our area and the economic impact this might have for fishing in our area? As we know, tourism is probably the most important thing for our area, and this time of year, people want to come here and fish.
Yeah, it's a great question. And so again, this all is taken into accountability. There's basically four major takeaways from this emergency regulation. One of them is, it had to be done quickly for the sustainability of the resource. We don't take it lightly. People talk about duck hunting in Arkansas, but arguably trout fishing is one of the largest drivers we have in the Arkansas Game and Fish. It's roughly a $350 to $400 million economy driver in our state. And I would tell you that probably 80 to 85% of that monies of that driver take place here in the North Central Arkansas region with the White and the Norfolk Rivers. The other 15 to 20% would be spread throughout Arkansas on Little Red River and others. And you could look at that from the standpoint of guide licensing from trout stamps that are sold is what drives that number. That's important. That's very important. And we don't take it lightly. We are certainly focused on that. So when talk about sustainability, it's important to make sure that, that we maintain our rivers. Now, with this, it's the conservation impact. Now, this reg will do nothing but help the rivers. The only downside to having to make this emergency reg is the economic impact. And so while we took that into account, the Lord couldn't have blessed us with a better time for this to take place, in that we're going into a time of our lull, if you will, in North Central Arkansas with our harvesting fisheries. Our harvesting audience generally is not heavy in these months. Most of the people that are there in January, February, in the coldest months, are generally there to catch and release anyway. They're there for to get a picture, to get the right trout, to get its what it's known for, its large brown trout. And that's what people are there for. So we're not in the harvest season anyway, while people do harvest in that time, but not nearly as much as they do in the summer. So the economic impact we feel is going to be as minimal as it could be.
Have you spoken to local guides about their feelings about this regulation?
I have talked to a number of guides, a number of outfitters and resorts. Shockingly, as this may seem, of all the regs of the 5.5 years I've been on this commission that we've had to deal with or pass, this has been the most positive response the commission has received in a decision made. I have not personally received one negative comment about it. I've received a lot of adoration for the choice. The tough choice was made, but people recognize and appreciate the fact that we made it for the resource and not because it was popular or unpopular. And that's what I would tell you about the commission that you have sitting right now, the last 5 years, and the folks that are on this commission. They are very much dialed into the science and for making decisions that are what's best for Arkansas and the natural resources. And not always the most popular decisions, but it's proven out to be decisions that have been good for the resource and sustaining and growing it.
Will we look back 5, 10 years from now and talk about this decision?
Yes, there's no question. And I'll tell you, there's some takeaways that I want to remind folks of. Think about the conservation side of this. And let's take the white, for example. Right now, the current reg allows you to take 5 trout. As far as rainbows go, only one of those can be over 14 inches. So the remaining trout would have to be under 14 inches. So think of the 4 month period here where a number of fish that will go from 13 to 14 inches. And we're going to be doing data studies to watch to see the growth of these fish without the pressure of harvest. So all of those fish, now you take that inventory that grows into the 14-inch range, and its impact to grow more is better because there's more of them where they would not normally have been the opportunity to grow. So yeah, that's going to be something you look at, you watch, an economic driver. You're going to have the opportunity to take this data and look to see down the road is should this be considered on an annual basis. A lot of people have asked us about that. And again, don't know if it will or not, but it's certainly going to give us an opportunity to see its impact conservation wise. We'll see the economic impact. And then most important, I think why we're going to look back on this is that this is an opportunity for reflection. We've always had the fly fishers versus the spin guides. And while they get along well on the river, and one's always better than the other if you ask them. At the end of the day, no resources without risk. And the sustainability of a resource, every resource is damaged as soon as a man steps into it. And whether that be a fly fisherman or a spin caster. So the fact that you recognize the importance of what these resources do for us from an economic standpoint and our sustainability, it makes us the time to reflect that, hey, look, these things aren't guaranteed forever. So we should always be looking for ways to take care of them. I mean, you paint your house, you change the oil in your car, you maintain the things you love. But we tend to go out there and just fish and not think about what do we need to do to maintain one of the most important resources for the north central part of our state. And I think this is going to give us a chance to reflect on that, to see its importance. And yeah, 5, 10 years, I think we'll still be talking about this.
What discussions is the commission having in terms of addressing the problems at the Norfolk Fish Hatchery? You mentioned several of the raceways have been closed over the past few years. What is being done to help get that hatchery back to maximize production?
Well, keep in mind, the Norfolk Fish Hatchery is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. It's not us. We are just benefactors of it being here from when they built the dam. So we're watching to see what we can do to help them. Obviously, we're looking for other areas that we can obtain trout from for Plan Bs and Cs. What do we need to be doing with Mammoth Springs to ensure that we don't find ourselves in this position? Again, this is a perfect storm, Heather. When you have your Spring River trout hatchery go down and the Norfolk hatchery go down in the same year, leading into the wintertime, that's never happened before. We hope it never happens again. But it's certainly, as any good business, you look back for your crisis management. And you're writing new chapters as you go.
I look forward to hopefully discussing other things, other issues and opportunities that the commission is working on as well.